Okay, would you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17. Nowadays, just about everybody has a cell phone. And majority case, they have iPhone or the Android phone, one of those, a smartphone. So if you have a flip phone, I guess that's considered a dumb phone, right? If you have those smartphones, most likely you have an app that lets you know where you are with the GPS. Very much up-to-date GPS that you know exactly where you're going and so you don't get lost, supposedly. But because GPS is made by man, there's a flaw. It lets you end up in the dead-end street, been there. Let you end up in the empty lot. I'm looking around, there's no building, been there. And make you to go to the not even remotely close to where you want to be, been there. But the Bible is the Word of God, and it is our true GPS, God's practical signs. You know the road signs. I know some of you think that road signs is for the suggestion. 45 miles per hour, I'll go with whatever. Until you see the light in the back of your rear view mirror. And then you're thinking, yeah, I should have gone at 45. Too late. Road sign is there to direct you and tell you that you need to slow down or caution or whatever. People, majority of people, do not seek the Bible as the manual or road sign for their lives. Actually, many people don't even have a focused idea which way God wants them to go when they are standing at the major intersection of their lives. One of our friends I met, he's a Christian. He said he's a Christian. And making a major move to the East Coast, he said he's making more money, a lot more money. I asked him, no, I didn't ask him. A friend of mine asked him, is that what God wants? He had that look, deer looking at the headlight. Like, what are you talking about? It's my decision. If you're a child of God, it is not your decision. You need to ask, is this what God wants? Whenever you are at the junction where you have to turn right, turn left, or go different direction than where you've been, you need to ask God. And some people say, you actually hear from God? Yes, through this and through your heart. Holy Spirit who lives in you, if you're a born-again Christian, will speak to you. In addition to that, there are many roads that lead them to destruction. And the people don't know how to detect them because they don't read the road sign in this book. Hosea 4:6, and you don't need to, just write it down, it's in your sermon note. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Of what? This book. They don't know the Word of God, so they perish. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he continued to teach his disciples and prepare them for what he would suffer. And he was preparing them for the time when he is no longer with them like they've been last 3 years. This is the less than 6 months time period of Jesus' life. He's preparing them, he's teaching them, he's helping them to conduct themselves in such a way that they will be able to carry the torch. It's a critical period of their lives. And in this chapter, chapter 17, the author, Dr. Luke, records the lessons that Jesus gave his disciples about some of the essentials of Christian life that applies to us, such as how to avoid becoming stumbling blocks. how to avoid becoming stumbling blocks. And having faith in God and being grateful to God and preparing for the rapture. Last few weeks, I've been talking about rapture. I've been talking about second coming of Christ. Why am I keep talking about? First of all, it's in the Bible. So I cannot walk away from the when the Bible speaks about it. And whether you like it or not, we are in the last, we're living in the last days. I heard from a young person, I don't want Jesus to come yet, come to earth to get us yet. It's like, are you out of your mind? Do you think this is good? Folks, as I said before, I'm going to say it again. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, born-again believer, this is hell. We have a heaven waiting for us. Amen? All right, let's stop here and pray. Father, indeed, you're a good, good Father. We give you all the praise and adoration and thanks to you for the breath we have, for the heartbeat we have. And there are many people who suffer. As a matter of fact, people are killed because of their faith in Christ. In this free country, we are protected. We have a privilege of coming to the house of God where we can worship you, where we can adore you. Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart that we may hear from you. We may do what is right in your sight. We may recognize the warning signs. We may recognize the caution signs. We may recognize the things that what we are supposed to do. Always glorifying your name, not to advance our name or reputation. Let us be less of ourselves and you be more in our lives. Please forgive our sins and anoint the one who speaks. Father, we pray for President Trump that you may speak to him that he may come to know Christ and he may do what is right. Seems like he's been doing a lot of good things. Continue to bless him that he continues to walk with you and ultimately he come to know you. And protect him from all the attacks. And speaking of attacks, there are 9 police officers being killed in 13 weeks. Father, we ask you to put the hedge of protection around them and firefighters and our military personnel. We pray all this in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 17, please. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Then he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sin against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Underline, highlight, circle, point, whatever you need to do, remember that. Forgive him. "And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, return to you and saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The word offense in Greek is skandalon, which means a bait stick of a trap that which triggers off trouble. We get our English word a scandal from this word, as you can imagine. And I think that the word offense is not a good translation. There's some translation I don't care for in New King James. New Living Translation said a whole lot better for you to understand, for me to understand. It says a stumbling block. That is better translation, in my opinion. It's easier to understand. Scripture says that each of us has a potential of causing others to stumble, to go wrong. Each of us, if we are not careful, can become stumbling blocks. And Jesus gives a stern warning against that kind of things. How do we become stumbling blocks? There are three ways, in my opinion. Number one, by what we say. Can you say what you mean? By what we say. Don't you just have a way? Okay, it's not just me, and I'm sure all of you. Sometimes we can hurt somebody with our words, don't we? Don't we do that? Husband and wife, I'm sure you guys never had a problem with each other with the word, right? If you say, oh yeah, then you are lying through your teeth. Go to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. Keep your finger in Luke chapter 17. James, right after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Chapter 3, verse 12. Verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. What did I say? 12? Yeah. Just put the hyphen in between. My brethren, let us not many... Chapter 3. Let us not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to brittle the whole body. Long, long ago, I was having a lunch with Pastor Al. Once we had that thing going on once a month, keeping each other accountable. And he asked me, how are you doing? So I said, I'm trying to be a perfect man. He looked at me like, not in your lifetime, that look. He said, I'm trying to watch my mouth so I don't cause others to stumble. Is it successful? No. But we can certainly try, can we not? Not only Bible teachers and pastors, but also all of us are born again. All of us who are born again Christian need to be careful with what we say and how we say. Are you with me on that? What we say and how we say it, so that we may not be stumbling block to each other, and especially to unbelievers. You may say, well, why unbelievers? If we say rudely, bluntly, and obnoxiously, that's how they, unbelievers will see Jesus. Mean and ugly and rude. That's not, okay? And you may ask, what if they're rude? Do not pay back evil for evil, the Bible says, right? All right, second thing. Repeat with me. By the way we live. By the way we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. This time I said it correctly. Chapter 8, verse 9. But be aware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So there's two things I want you to notice. Liberty and weak. When the Lord Jesus set us free from the bondage of Satan and death, we received freedom, liberty, in Christ Jesus. But at the same time, we should not flaunt that our freedom any way we want, so that it may become a stumbling block to other believers. Let me make a quick example. I have a freedom in Christ. For me, if I want to have a bottle of beer, I can. But what if, I'm picking on you, Billy, let's say he's an alcoholic. He's not. He just became a newborn, born-again Christian. And he saw me in the grocery store buying six-pack. And he thought, oh, Pastor Jake, a drink. I can have one drink. I might be able to control with one drink. Being an alcoholic, illustration only, he may not be able to have a stop at one drink. Are you with me? My freedom, my liberty in Christ Jesus will cause other person to stumble. Then I shouldn't, Apostle Paul said, I should not enjoy my liberty. I restrain, Apostle Paul said, I restrain for the sake of others. Same thing. That's why I don't do a lot of things. Because I'm a pastor. And you may say, I'm not a pastor, I don't have to do it. But if you've been a Christian some time, and you might be in the position where other people look at you, and you have to restrain yourself, your freedom. All right. Third thing, by the way we think, say it with me, by the way we think, Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Sorry, I picked on you, Billy. It's all right. Until next time. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Again, we have a freedom, but that freedom may cause a problem. Our judgmental attitude can be a big stumbling block to others who are young in the Lord. And too much grace, get this guys, too much grace can be dangerous. But no grace is the first step to become legalist. Let me say it one more time. Too much grace is dangerous, but no grace is the first step to become legalist. Okay. Go back to the text in the book of Luke. And Jesus talked about it's better for you to put the millstone around your neck, jump into the sea, than you treat this and cause these young believers to stumble. What is the millstone? Have you ever seen it? Okay, there's a picture. I took this picture from the Capernaum in Israel. It's a circular thing, and they use it for many different ways. To scrape the chaff off the grain, they put them in the hole and they grind around with a donkey or a cow or slaves. And there's a hole and it comes down with the chaff and the grain comes out. Of course, then they flip in the air on the windy day or the light chaff, it will be gone and the grain will come back. It's heavy. Trust me, it's solid weight. It's heavy. It's better for that person to put that thing around the neck and jump into the sea. That means that person is not coming back. Am I correct? It's better for them to die than facing God. Let me put it in another way. The Word of Faith movement teachers, they teach heresies, prosperity and health. If you believe, if you have a faith in God, special faith in faith, then anything you claim is yours. I call them name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. And they think that God owes you something, whatever you claim, you can have. That is not what the Bible tells us. They're heretics against the Word of God. They cause many people to stumble, those who are weak in the Lord and young in the Lord. They will face God and they will regret every word, every teaching they've done to the young believers. Sometimes we can have a perverted justice in our heart that the ones who offend us should suffer for a long time before we forgive them. But the Lord is telling us to forgive them if they repent. Our forgiveness gives the people a sweet taste of forgiveness of Christ, a taste that will draw them to Him rather than push them away. The goodness of Christ will bring people to Christ. Amen? Go down to verse 5 of chapter 17, please. Back to Luke chapter 17. Bless you. Now we see the sign for the great faith in great God. Verse 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. I want you to note this. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the small berry tree, pull up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And there's no other word. It doesn't say, okay, I will increase your faith. Or no, you need just a little more faith by doing this and doing that. Did you notice that? There's no other explanation. It is not the size of faith that makes the difference. Rather, the faith in our great big God makes the difference. Period. It is either we believe in God or do not believe in Him. Did you notice Jesus did not grant their wishes of having a big faith? He told them to just have a faith in God, great big God, simply. Why is that the little child have a bigger faith than we do? Because they simply believe. That's why I'm praying for the Vacation Bible School. We're going to have a 30, 40, 50 kids. I don't know how many we're going to have. When they come, they will hear the Word of God. They will hear the gospel message. And they will respond. When they have Jesus in their heart, their life will... It's important for us to give them the right food. Transplanting mulberry tree is not a show of one's faith. But it is about the following the will of God in spite of an impossible situation. When was the last time for you, somebody said to the tree, pull yourself up and plant yourself in the sea? You know, so-called, again, back to those Word of Faith movement teachers, if they really have a faith in Jesus Christ, because they are such a wonderful faith believers, why do they ask for money from people? They beg and cry. If they have that much faith, just claim the money. It will come to them, right? And spot me some too, right? They don't have a faith. They are just gimmick and they are con artists. Don't ask God to increase your faith. Just believe in God who is gigantic, who can do all things. If it's in His will. Did you get that? There's a clause. If in His will, He will get it done even though it looks impossible. I remember just side story, no extra charge. There's a story about the missionary. She was captured. She was in the Philippines during World War II. She was captured by the Japanese soldiers. She was stuck in the prison, and there's a little hole on her cell. And she was hungry all the time, but they barely gave a little handful of rice. She looked at outside the yard, and she saw this banana tree. She loved banana. And she looked at the banana and said, oh Lord, I wish I can have that banana, even just one. But you cannot give it to me because I'm here. A little later, she heard the footsteps. And her cell door was flung open. And the guard, Japanese guard, tossed the whole, you know, how the banana comes out with the big chunk. He tossed the whole thing on the floor and walked out and locked the door. And she started to cry. And she pushed the banana away and she said, I don't deserve it. Is it God still impossible? Cannot do things? Our God, to Him, nothing is. Don't ask for the bigger faith. Just ask for His will be done in your life. His will be done in that particular situation. It will be done according to His way. It may not be yours, but His will be done. Now we have a clear sign of doing what we are supposed to do. In verse 7. And which of you, being a servant and plowing and tending a sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come once at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk? Afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Step there again. True servant of Christ should not expect a favor from God because you are doing what you are supposed to do. Did you hear that? What is your job? What is your purpose of living? For His pleasure, not for you. So if you've been good Christian, you studied the Word of God and you pray and you've been nice, you didn't yell at anybody, you didn't kick the neighbor's dog, okay, so I'm good. So God, you owe me 3 blessings and 1 answered prayer today. Are you negotiating with God? A lot of times we try, don't we? We have a hard time understanding. God does not owe anything to us. We owe Him everything. And He is not our servant. You don't pick up the bell and say, "Oh, Charlie, do you think God would say, oh, what you need, what you need, what you need?" He doesn't do that. He's a mighty master of the universe. We are His subject. Go to verse 11, please. He's a reminding sign for being grateful to the Lord. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him the 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. I want you to note that, okay? As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way." Note next phrase, please. "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. The Jews and Samaritans, if you remember from my previous teaching, they didn't get along well. But the misery loves company. I'm sure you heard that. Misery loves company. They were outcasts, or they were living together. 3 things I would like to bring into your attention. Number 1, their obedience was the evidence of their faith. Their obedience was the evidence of their faith. 10 lepers were obedient to Jesus' command. So instead of checking out all their bodies, they start to walk toward the temple to see the priest. As they walk, guess what? They were healed. Remember this Assyrian general, Naaman, who was a leper? He was not cleansed until he dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. 6 times he still was a leper. 7th time he went under water. When he came out, his skin was like a baby's skin. And I'm thinking all the ladies say, "Let me have that Jordan River water." Until we do what God tells us to do, He doesn't move. Let me say one more time. Until we do what He tells us to do first in faith, He doesn't move. Second point I'd like to bring to your attention is only one of them remembered to give thanks to the Lord. When it comes to prayer requests, we have a long list. When it comes to praise report, it's about a year long. Why is that? We are quick with the prayer request. But we are not good at praise report. Give thanks to the Lord for everything that you have, everything that you will do. Remember His goodness. Should I say, a lot of times we pretend that, oh, I forgot. Or even try to claim that it's something to do with us. Third point. Spiritual blessings from the Lord outweighs physical one. Spiritual blessings from the Lord outweighs the physical one. 10 lepers were cleansed from the leprosy by Jesus through their faith in Him. But only one was saved by faith, saved by the Lord Jesus. The literal translation, your faith has made you well, is, literal translation should be, your faith has saved you. It is nice to receive physical blessings. I don't doubt that. But there is nothing to compare to have our sins forgiven eternally. Some of you have an infirmity, so do I. But would I have all this infirmity to be gone, though I may lose my salvation? If I have to choose between my salvation and all the infirmities gone, I would choose my salvation any day. Spiritual blessing far outweighs our physical ones. We who have come to Jesus Christ in attitude of genuine thanksgiving that comes from the acknowledging who God is and who we are, not just to be healed, and we are saved. All right. We have more signs of the rapture and the second coming. Verse 20, please. Are you hungry? You ready for a picnic? So am I. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with the observation. Verse 21. Nor will they say, see here and see there. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Note that word, within you. Then he said to the disciples, the day will come, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. Let me say it one more time. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of the one part under heaven shines to another part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. Stop there, please. The presence of God, the power of God were in Jesus. And yet the Pharisees were so worldly and carnal that they would not see the truth that he is the Messiah. In their mind, there is a certain category of being a Messiah. And tried to fit the Christ in there and didn't work. Like the Pharisees, we sometimes search the skies for signs of God, while overlooking his footprint in our lives. All we have to do is look out within our lives and we can see his footprint all over. Take the past year of your life, for example. How God has provided for you and how God ministered to you during the difficult time. Do you remember the difficult time you went through? Did God minister to you? Yes, I'm sure. He's been faithful to you. And he will continue to do so as long as you are his child. Verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. Of course, New Age movement people will say, oh, see, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. God is in you. You are God. No, it's taking out of context. It should have been translated, kingdom of God is within, in the midst of you. And you may say, are you telling me that the Bible is not correctly translated? Let me put it this way. The original Greek manuscript of the New Testament, the original Hebrew manuscript of the Old Testament are inspired, without a doubt, Bible translation, English Bible translation, there are flaws. And you're thinking, oh, can we cast a stone at him? I said the manuscript, the original manuscript, is infallible because it's the Word of God. In between the translation, you heard a word, lost in translation? That's what it is. Two things. A warning sign against the false, the Messiah imposters. I'm sure you guys remember David Koresh, Jim Jones, Sun Myung Moon, and many, many others who claim to be the Messiah in every century. The bigger problem is not the people who claim to be Messiah. Bigger problem is the people who follow them blindly. Instead of comparing against the Word of God, they did not test every spirit. Are you with me on that? If you've been supporting some ministry that is not right with the Word of God, don't send them money. You are just only enabling them. The true Antichrist will come to deceive the world. It's a matter of time for him to show his true, sweet, and charming presence known to this world. But not until the rapture happened first. Go down to verse 27, please. And as we see the reminding sign of the rapture. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. That's Jesus. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate and they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. Until the day of Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, it was so as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. In my opinion, this portion of the scripture gives us a clear explanation of the pre-tribulation theology of the rapture. I know many well-meaning believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, said pre-trib is incorrect. It's a mid-tribulation or pan-tribulation or post-tribulation. It is very important for you to have a clear knowledge and theology regarding the rapture. Otherwise, your study of end-time theology, also known as eschatology, is nothing more than gigantic brain spin that give you confusion and uncertainty. God's rescue for his people comes before. Noah was rescued before the judgment of the whole earth. Lot was rescued before the judgment of the Sodom and Gomorrah. Before his judgment against the world, like these two examples, Noah and Lot. By the way, just to dispute with the movie Noah, the Lot and the Noah were not in the same timeline. In the movie, they were talking to each other. So, but then again, what do you expect from the Hollywood, right? Verse 30. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop, his goods are in the house. Let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember, Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. And two women will be grinding together, and the one will be taken, the other left. And two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. And the answer said to him, "Well, Lord," he said to them, "wherever the body there is the eagle or vulture," some of your version says, "will be gathered together." Like a Lot's wife who desired her worldly things in Sodom, many people, even the Christian, concentrate on the worldly things and carnal things, worldly possessions, that they lose focus of God, Jesus, in their lives. They don't think about Jesus. So they don't know, they no longer walk for, live for Christ, but they do all the other things. There is a phrase for that, right? He is backslidden or she is backslidden. Exactly. Your heart should not be on what you have in the house, but on what you will have in heaven. Is your heart ready to be with the Lord? Now, I'm asking you, is your heart to be ready to be with the Lord? Are you ready for the rapture? It can happen any moment before we go to the picnic. If you're not, you'll be left behind. Two applications. Number one, it's easy to be a stumbling block in other people's spiritual walk because of a careless way we talk, behave, and live, and think. Rather, we ought to be an encouragement to others by being more like Jesus. Second application, look deep within your own life. Whatever choice we make, we are responsible. Look high above your own circumstance. Weigh what you are doing for the Lord. Is it for the glory of God, or is it for your own selfish advantage? I cannot say that for you, nor even your spouse. Only you can answer that. Only God can answer that. Listen, listen, listen. Hold on. Stop moving. God knows the motive of your heart. Whatever you choose to do, He knows the motive. If that motive is wrong, you might as well confess your sin and be right with God. You might be able to do the right thing, but if your motive is wrong, it's not bringing glory to God. Amen?